Look at you guys. Okay. My name is Andy, and I'm so glad to be here. Now, before we get started, really quick, I want all of you to look at this camera right here. I want to tell you about this camera. Can you see this camera with the red light? Everybody say hey to the camera. Yeah. Let me tell you what's on the other end of the camera. On the other end of the camera, literally, are thousands and thousands of adults who wish they had had a Walking Wisely weekend when they were your age. Yeah. So, one last time, I want everybody to say, hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
Say, hey, everybody. And one more thing you got to tell them. I want you to look in that camera and say, hey, thanks for paying for all this. Okay. Quick question. Tonight I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. You got to answer them out loud. Does anyone know what this is? Wait. Seriously. You knew what this was? It's a what? Label maker. And what do label makers make? You guys are going to do great on the SAT. Now, before I came out here, I went ahead and printed a few labels. And so if this label fits you, you just raise your hand and I'll let you wear this label tonight. All right. For label number one, eighth grader. I do not have enough labels, but there you go. Eighth grader. There it is. Okay. Honor roll. Oh, no. Liars, you're all lying. You're not all on the honor roll. Seriously, okay, let's start this over. Ready? Honor roll. There you go, honor roll. All right, now, narrowing it down. Class president. Oh, there's not that many classes in Fulton County. What do you mean? Seriously? Okay, come up here. Come here. Come here, quick. All right. Quick, come here. Seriously, what's your name?
Claire.
This is Claire. You're the class president?
Well, I wanted to be.
You wanted to be. Go sit down, Claire. I knew it. Okay. And Claire, I'm sure that one day you will be president of something, okay? Class president for real. It got really quiet. Okay, hand this back to her. There you go. Okay. American. Okay, there you go. There's a label. All right. Now, this next one I have to define, okay? I'm going to tell you what it is and I'm going to define it. The next label is geek. Serious self-esteem problem. Okay, now when I say geek, okay, I'm talking seriously about, first of all, a guy, okay? And, a guy who the only time a girl will talk to you is when she's trying to update the firmware on her cell phone, okay? That kind of geek. Yeah, there it is, right there. Okay, here we go. Pass that back. Yeah, you're the guy. Okay, now, here's a question. Here we go. Ready? Some more questions. Right? First question. Next question. Who has the right? This is huge. Who has the right to label something? Think about the things on your... Whoa. No. You're all wrong. Let me tell you. Here's who has the right to label something. Three categories of people. Manufacturer. How many of you have a label on the back of your shirt? How many of you have a label on the front of your shirt? How many of you have no idea? Yes, okay. Whenever someone manufactures something, they always put a label on it. And that's fine. When somebody manufactures something, we expect them to put a label on it. How many of you guys play baseball and have a metal bat at home? Okay. Isn't it true? Your metal bat is full of labels. The second category of people or of entities that can label something are the owners. Owners label things. Now, think about this. How weird would it be for me to come to your house with my label maker and begin labeling things in your house. Dog, mom, underwear drawer. Right, now here's the thing. If I came to your house and started labeling things, even though I might be right, I wouldn't have the right because I'm not the owner. Owners get to label things, not visitors. The third group or person who gets to label something is the purchaser. Say it with me, the purchaser. Now, so when you get a new school backpack, what is the first thing your parents tell you to do? Write your name in it. When you get a new baseball glove, what's the first thing you better do? Write your name in it. Right, because when you purchase something, you have the right to what? Label it. You guys are going to do so well in life. Okay, now I want to ask you a question that might be the most important question that you ask while you're in middle school and high school. But here's the thing, and if you weren't an above average group, I wouldn't even try what I'm about to try. In fact, somebody told me, Andy, that's not going to work. I said, no, we have extraordinary students in our churches. This is going to work. So here's what I'm going to do, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put it on the screen, and I'm going to ask you not to answer out loud. I'm going to ask you to think. Now, let me explain something to seventh grade girls. When you think, your mouth doesn't move. Now, this is hard for seventh grade girls, and I love seventh grade girls. I had one, okay? But girls, seventh grade girls, you've been talking for about 3.5 years. And this may be the first time in a long time that your brain engaged and your mouth closed, okay? Now, here, it's okay. I'm not being critical. Because God made you to be that way. But I'm going to ask you for just 1 second in church to be ungodly and to have a thought with your mouth not moving at the same time. So, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put this question up, and you are going to think the answer and not say the answer out loud. And for all of our churches who are watching, you think the answer, you don't say the answer out loud. Now, do you think you can do this? Yeah. So I'm going to ask a question, and it's going to be silent. Now, I want to ask all of our leaders to answer out loud. Do you think these students can do this, yes or no? Yeah. Yeah, they don't think you can do it. Okay. So, guys, just the guys, are the guys ready to think an answer and not say an answer? Guys? Girls? Class presidents? Students with an iPhone 5 with unlimited texting, are you ready? Okay, I got it. Here we're going to do. I think we're going to do a practice question, okay? So I'm going to put a question on the screen. It is not a question that you need to think about while you're in middle school and high school, but it's a practice question. So I'm going to put a practice question on the screen, and we're all going to think the answer, not say anything. This is practice to see if your brain can engage, and it can be completely silent. Are you ready? This is just a practice question. Okay, ready? Here's the question. Who is the real inspiration behind the song "We Are Never Getting Back Together"? See, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Okay. Here's the real question. You ready? Here's the real question. And one more time. This question is so important. And I think because you're above average, you're going to know basically the answer to this question, but I want you to think it, not say it. And students, this is why we're here for this weekend. The answer to this question, believe it or not, and this sounds like something the preacher would say, the answer to this question has the potential to shape your entire life. And your willingness to embrace the correct answer to this question will definitely determine the direction and the quality of your life, not just in middle school and not just in high school, but possibly for the rest of your life. So I'm going to put the question on the screen. I want it to be dead quiet as you think the answer. Then I'm going to tell you a couple quick stories, all right? Here's the question. Who has the right to label you. Who has the right to label you? Who has the right to label you? Because we've all got labels. And some of the labels we gave ourselves. And some of the labels we carry other people gave us. I got my first label in the sixth grade, and here's why. When I was in the sixth grade, I had buck teeth, and I don't mean I just had like big, ugly buck teeth. I mean, when I closed my mouth, you could see my front teeth. And that hurts my feelings that you're still laughing about it. Okay, here's what happened. My teeth were so bad. I'm not excited. My teeth were so bad. People would walk by and like, hey, dude, you know your teeth are like hanging out of your mouth. I mean, really, when I close, we're all going to try something. I could not put my bottom teeth in front of my top teeth. I want everybody to put your bottom teeth in front of your top teeth, okay? Can y'all do that? I just was testing. Yeah, okay, I couldn't do that. So I had like these terrible, ugly teeth. Literally, our family would get together and we'd have pictures. And in every picture from the time I'm about the end of fifth grade, almost to, you know, about the middle of ninth grade, I'm either crying or I'm not in the picture. Because I was so embarrassed by the way I looked. Because people, really, they'd walk up. And girls, I got lots of girl attention, but all the wrong kinds. Like, come here, look at this. Andy. Oh. Serious. So I gave myself a label. And my first label was, and this is the mild version, not attractive. Thank you. Now, because I got so much sympathy from the eighth graders, I want to let you in on a secret I've never told anyone before, and I would rather you not allow it out of the room. Actually, it was worse than this. I actually had a nickname. And I'm looking for a little compassion here, okay? My teeth were so bad that my nickname in the sixth grade in my school was Sabretooth Stanley. Can you imagine? Let me tell you how bad my teeth were. All right. How many of you have braces? Nah, that's not something to cheer about. Here's something to cheer about. How many of you had braces and have them off? Yeah, okay. So you know, my orthodontist, when he fixed my teeth, this is true. My teeth were so bad, when he finished fixing my teeth, he took my before and after impressions to a conference, and he won an award for fixing my mouth. It was that bad. He would keep my impressions. Now, for those of you who've never had braces, let me explain what impressions are. Impressions are, you go to an orthodontist, which you don't even know what that is if you don't have braces. Maybe somebody you know has braces. You go to an orthodontist, and in the old days, they would fill your entire mouth up with gook. And then they would say to you, breathe through your nose. To which you would think, how else can I breathe? I have 18 pounds of gook. And then you would bite down. Now, nowadays, you do it real quick. In the old days, when I was a kid, you had to bite down on this, and they left the room and came back a couple days later just to make sure the impression worked, okay? So he put my before and after impressions on in his office behind his desk, and so people would come in and say, hey, are you good at what you do? He'd point to my impressions, and they're like, oh, my gosh, that's a miracle, okay? That's how bad my teeth were. So, I'm telling you, I was so embarrassed. I was just so embarrassed by the way I looked. I didn't want to smile. I didn't want to be in pictures. It was miserable, okay? That was my first label. Then, in the eighth grade, I got my second label. I wasn't a great student, but I thought I was, like, average, you know? Average is okay. You know, C's get degrees. You've heard that? Use that with your parents. Hey, C's get degrees, okay? Anyway, so I'm in the eighth grade, and I thought, hey, I'm struggling, you know, I just average. And then I had a teacher, Mrs. Salyers. I still remember Miss Salyers, and she gave me a new label. Now, this was kind of a label I gave myself, but it was based on my math experience. So in eighth grade, I was in math, and I think it was pre-algebra. Yeah. So it's like remedial, like, Andy, you get to be a leader because you get to take this class over. So I'm in this some kind of math class, and we had our first test, okay? And on my first whatever math class this was, I get my test back. And the good news was nothing was marked wrong. The bad news is, in big red ink on the top of my test, it just said no. No. Hey, what'd you make? Made a no. That's awesome. 2 weeks later, a week and a half later, we have our second test in pre, whatever kind of math this was. And I got my test back and nothing was marked wrong again. And I got it. No. Went home. How'd you do on your test, Andy? I made a no. I never heard of a no. I thought that you got like a letter grade. Nothing's marked wrong. My test was so wrong. She just looked at it and went, no. So then I thought, well, wow, I've got two no's. I need to figure out what my average is in this class, you know. But of course, I didn't know how to figure up averages because I was in pre-whatever. So I got my mom. I said, Mom, I need to figure out what my average is in the class. She said, let's figure it out. Let's see. A no plus no, that'd be no. And then, Andy, you divide by two because you got two factors and you got a no. So in the eighth grade, I got a second label. Not smart. I know. Now, you think I'm exaggerating this because it's interesting to tell. Absolutely true. I just would study so hard, and I would get there, and everybody else had, you know, they're all goofing off and making A's, and I'm studying. I just wasn't very good. I was always in the class right behind everybody else, my grade. So I just wasn't smart. Then, at the beginning of eighth grade, that was the middle of eighth grade, the beginning of eighth grade, I got my third label. And this was a tough one. Every guy in my eighth grade class went out for eighth grade basketball because the way the schools were, I won't explain it to you, was different than it is now. So this was like sort of the beginning of athletics, you know, in a big way. So eighth grade basketball is like a huge deal. So I think every guy, and I went to a giant middle school and high school, I think every guy went out for eighth grade basketball, including me. I'm thinking, okay, I'm not smart, you know, I'm not cute, but maybe I can be an athlete. Yeah. So anyway, so I go out for eighth grade basketball, and there were so many guys that went out for eighth grade basketball, there were four cuts. There were like 80 people cut the first night. They were just mad. There was kids everywhere. It's like, you didn't even get in the gym. Ah, you're cut. I hadn't even gotten in the gym. You're cut, okay? There were so many people. Made it the first cut, second cut, third cut. And then the last night, practice, I'll never forget. Now, I'm like so much older than all you guys, but I can still remember eighth grade. I'm in the corner at Tucker High School, in the corner, last night of tryouts. I take a shot. I miss everything. It's called a air ball. That's right, air ball. And on the other side, in the other corner, stands Coach Manning. I can still see him. White button-down shirt, standing like this, with his tie kind of down, because you know, he's a history teacher, and he's standing there with these black rimmed glasses, and he says, Stanley! You got no backbone. I still remember that. And that night he cut me from the team. So now I had another label. Not athletic. Now let me ask you a question about this, all right? Do you think, this is kind of rhetorical, that means you don't have to answer it, but you're middle schooler so you can answer it anyway. Okay, do you think that these labels impacted the way I carried myself? Middle school? Yeah. Do you think these labels impacted how excited I was about trying out for new things? Did you know that after eighth grade basketball, anybody that knows me a long time would tell you, I didn't try out for anything because I didn't want to feel the way I felt that night. It was, Stanley, you got no backbone. Do you know how many times I walked up to girls in middle school or high school that I thought were cute and began a conversation with them? I know exactly how many times I did it. I did it no times. Because when you see yourself the way my labels taught me to see myself, here's the thing. Listen, it impacted my relationships. It impacted my attitude. It impacted how hard I studied. You know, I never even took the SAT. When I got out of high school, I wasn't sure I was going to go to college because I just considered myself not smart. Because of labels people had given me and labels I'd given myself. And here's the moral of all that story. Labels are powerful things. Would you say this with me out loud? Labels are powerful. I want to say it one more time. Everybody at all of our churches, all together, ready? Labels are powerful things. Do you know what labels do? Labels, listen. Labels lock you in and they lock opportunity out. In fact, as we're going to see in a few minutes, and as we're going to see this entire weekend, did you know the wrong label can lock you in and lock God out. Because labels determine how you see yourself, how you see the people around you, and how you see the world around you. Now, here's the thing. I know we just met, and I know you don't know me very well. I've shared some of my intimate secrets, okay, that I know you won't allow to get outside this room. But here's something I know about you, all right? Some of you, in fact, I would bet all of you, have some labels. Now, some of these are labels you gave yourself. Some of these are labels that other people gave you. Some of them are good labels. Athlete, you know, superstar. Some of you are second string. Some of you are hot. Some of you think you're hot. Some of you want to know somebody who's hot. Somebody of you used to be hot, you know, now you got the braces, you know, you'll be hot again someday, right? Some of you, here's the greatest, listen. This is the word that transcends all generations of middle schoolers. I mean, they're all words change, you know, what's in, what's cool. But here's the word that's always, always, always at the top of the pyramid. It's the word popular. Yeah. You know, and some of you are popular. Some of you want to be popular. Some of you think you're popular. But here's the deal. You all have labels. Now, some of you, your friends gave you labels. Some of you, your parents gave you labels. Some of you, a teacher gave you labels. A coach gave you labels. But you've got labels. Now, that brings us back to the most important question that you may ever answer while you're in middle school. This brings us back to the question I asked you a while ago, and I asked you not to answer it out loud, and you guys were amazing. Your answer to this question and your willingness to embrace the correct answer to this question will, I guarantee you, whether you believe me or not, shape your future. And the reason we do Walking Wisely Weekend, the reason we do Transit, the reason you are surrounded by adults who spend their time with you and give their Friday night to you is this. We know that labels are powerful, powerful things. And we want to help you pull the labels that mischaracterize you off. And we want you to learn to see yourself the way you should be seen. So here's the question one more time. Who has the right to label you? Who has the right? Let me ask you, you can answer this one, Isla. Do you think your friends have the right to label you?
No.
Let me ask you this. Here's another one. Do you think your boss, some of you have jobs, do you think your boss has the right to label you? Do you think a teacher has the right to label you? Do you think a coach has a right to label you? Let me tell you who has the right to label you. The one who made you. The one who owns you, and the one that purchased you. I want to talk about this word for just a second. Did you know that if you're a Christian, the scripture teaches us that when Christ came into the world to die for our sins, you've heard this phrase before, you've heard, he paid for our sins, right? You've heard that, he paid for our sins. He paid for your sins. You know what that means? When you pay for something, you get something. Right? When you want to purchase something, you pay for it. Here's something amazing. Listen. Every single one of you who have placed your faith in Christ have been purchased by God. Did you know the one who purchased you has the right to label you, and only the one who purchased you, made you, owned you, and created you has the right to label you? Did you know that your life will be radically different from most people if you spent the rest of your life refusing to accept the labels that people give you and only accept the label that your Heavenly Father has given you? As we wrap up tonight, as we launch this weekend, I want us to look at just one verse. I'm going to walk you through this verse. You may have heard this verse before. You're going to talk about this verse later on, but I want to walk you through one verse that kind of takes this apart and gives us a different perspective on this whole, the whole importance of being labeled or not being labeled. Here's what it says. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, I'll talk about a couple of words. He says, do not conform. You know what conform means? It means shape yourself. Do not shape yourself or do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Let me talk about this word. Do you know what a pattern is? A pattern is something that exists before you get there. You go, oh, there's a pattern. Now, here's something that's interesting. Did you know that when you went into middle school that somebody got there before you and decided what was cool? Did you know before you got to middle school, somebody got there before you and decided what was popular and what was unpopular? Did you know that before you got to middle school or high school, somebody showed up before you and decided this is what hot is and this is what hot is not? Did you know that before you ever got there, somebody determined what the pattern was? And did you know what you did when you showed up in middle school or what will happen when you show up in high school if you don't embrace what we're going to talk about this weekend? You will show up and you'll say, what's the pattern? What's popular looks like? What's, you know, what's cool look like? What's in look like? What's acceptable look like? What does it mean? What does get loved look like? You know, what does get invited look like? Show me the pattern so I can conform to the pattern. And your Heavenly Father says, are you kidding? Why would you let anyone other than me shape you and conform you? Students, did you know this? This is amazing. Did you know that when you accept a label from someone else, you allow them to control you? Do you? It's like turning to people in your school and saying, you're my boss. You are the boss of me. You are the boss of me. There was a kid in our student ministry years ago. He told me this story. He was brilliant. He made like 103 on everything, even when there was no extra credit, 103. He was just brilliant. God, here's what's amazing. God gave him like, he was just a brainiac. So here's what happened. He makes 103 on everything. And so he got this, you know, he got a label that he was like a brainiac or he's a nerd. You know, everybody made fun of him because he was so smart. Do you know what he started to do? He started to miss stuff on tests on purpose to get rid of the brand, to get rid of the label. You know why? Because he allowed the not-so-smart people like me to control him. That's what happens when you wear a label. It's like saying, hey, would you like to be the boss of me? I'll put this label on so I can try to conform to the patterns and the things that you decided before I even got here. Who would do that? Now, here's the thing. Here's why we're doing this weekend. We don't want any of you to spend 1 minute of your life with a label your Heavenly Father didn't give you, trying to conform to a pattern that was there before you ever got there. Listen to the rest of this verse. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed. In other words, break away from this. Take off those stupid labels. You're not the boss of me. You don't determine the pattern of my life. You say that's cool, but who are you? You say that's in, who are you? You say that's what popular is, who are you? Where do these patterns come from? I'm not going to conform. He says, be transformed. And how do you be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You know what that means? It means we, together this weekend, are going to learn to think differently about labels. And then, if you haven't been listening, here's the part you just can't miss, and then I'm going to let you go. I got your attention. Listen to how the Apostle Paul ends this, because he makes a promise. And students, let me just give you a little heads up. Right now, there are thousands of adults who are listening to us together, and let me tell you what they're thinking. They're thinking, I wish someone had told me this when I was their age. Because in high school and in college and through parents and in some cases through an ex-husband or ex-wife, somebody put a label on them. And right now there are thousands of adults wearing labels that have wrecked their lives and taken their lives in directions they never wanted to go in. And they're listening to me talk to you thinking, oh, I wish when I was in middle school or high school somebody had explained this to me, because I allowed myself to be conformed to a pattern I didn't even agree with, and I've worn this silly label my whole life. And how different my life would have been if I had refused at their age to make that mistake. Listen, this is so cool. You guys, you get to get this right the first time. I talk to adults all the time that wish they could come back and be your age and relive their life and do the kinds of things that we're going to talk about this weekend. Now, here's the best part of the verse. Then, once you're not conformed to the pattern of this world, once you decide to transform your mind by thinking differently, look at this promise and we're done. Then, after you refuse to be conformed, after you refuse to say, I don't care what the patterns are, you're not the boss of me, you don't get to label me, you don't own me, you didn't purchase me, you didn't manufacture me. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God, say this word with me, one more time. Thank you. He says, then you will be able to recognize, look at this, what God's will is. Now, let me tell you this in case you didn't know. Did you know that God has a will or a plan for you? And he says, you know what? God's will and God's plan doesn't involve any of the labels that anybody has given you. In fact, if you're not careful, the labels people give you will cause you to miss God's will for you. Now look what he says about this plan. Protest and approve God's will for you. And then he gives us three words that describe God's will. The first word is good. Now, let me tell you something about you. This will be hard for you to believe until you're 30 years old. And you know who just laughed when I said that? The adults in the room. Because when you're in middle school and you're in high school and you're confronted with God's will, you're going to think, oh no, that's not good. That's not good. That seems like misery. That seems like pain. That seems like torture. That's not good. And at some point along the way, you have to decide, am I going to wear the labels that people have given me, or am I going to lean into God's will for my life? And God says, you know what? My will for you, it'll take you a while to understand this, but my will for you is good. And my will for you is pleasing. That means you will enjoy it. And then here's the best part. And my will for you is perfect now. Do you know why God's will for you is perfect? Listen to this. God's will for you is perfect because God's will is designed in accordance with the way he designed you. God's will is perfect for you because God's will is designed for the way he designed you. And you know what? Some of the labels people want you to wear, it's because they're critical of the way God designed you. And God said, now, if you want to spend the rest of your life wearing a label and feeling bad about it, that's one thing. But if you take off that silly label and let me label you according to the way that I designed you, then you'll discover that the way I made you and the way I created you and the way I have placed you in this world, it's perfectly designed with the way that I designed you. So you have a choice to make. And we're going to talk about this all week long. Who are you going to allow to label you? And who has the right to label you? And your leaders are with you this whole weekend because we agree, nobody but your creator, nobody but your manufacturer, nobody but your purchaser, nobody but your owner has a right to label you. But here's the warning. The labels people put on you could cause you to miss God's plan for you. And we don't want you to miss it. So here's what we're going to do. In just a few minutes, we're going to leave. You're going to go to your small groups. And you're going to discuss these two questions. What are your labels? What are the labels people have put on you? What are the labels you put on yourself? What are the labels your parents have accidentally put on you for good or for bad? And secondly, where do they come from? What are the labels that you wear? Where do they come from? And then tomorrow night, we're going to come back and we're going to answer the question, now what? Now that I know what my labels are, now that I know where they came from, now what? Now what? Now what? But here's the bottom line, then I'm done. Look up here. You guys are great. Look. God, who loves you, has a plan for you. And he and we don't want the mislabeled people and the mislabeled students in our student ministry to miss God's plan because they've been mislabeled. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer with one word, and the word is God. Who has the right to label you? Who has the right to label you? Who is the only one who has the right to label you? That's exactly right. And students, if you get this one thing right in this stage of life, it will radically transform your future because you'll discover that God's will for you is good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for these students. Thank you so much for this weekend. Thank you for these leaders who've given their time to spend time with these students to wrestle with very, very important issues. And Father, I want to pray for the student here who's a part of this weekend, who's wearing a label that they're embarrassed about. A parent made one comment years ago, and they just aren't sure they are lovable. They're not sure they're wanted. That some crazy teacher made some crazy comment in a classroom, and it's stuck, and it's a label, and they wear it. And Father, we pray by the end of this weekend that we will have pulled off all the sticky labels and all the stickiness that went with it, and that we would be able to see ourselves the way you see us, because we agree that no one has a right to put a label on us except our Creator, our owner, and the one who purchased us with the blood of His very own Son. So, Father, do something incredible in each of our lives this weekend, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.